I'm Stephen Hundley, and this is the award-winning podcast, Leading Improvements in Higher Education, a service of the Assessment Institute in Indianapolis. Our sponsor for this season is the Center for Assessment and Research Studies at James Madison University. In this episode, we have a conversation with a co-author of the book entitled Teaching with AI, a practical guide to a new era of human learning, released in April 2024 by Johns Hopkins University Press. Our guest is Eddie Watson. Eddie is Associate Vice President for Curricular and Pedagogical Innovation and Executive Director for Open Educational Resources and Digital Innovation at the American Association of Colleges and Universities. I know you will enjoy learning from Eddie about how artificial intelligence will influence the work on college and university campuses. All during this episode of Leading Improvements in Higher Education. Well, today's episode, I know, will be very exciting because it's a topic that is of interest to lots of us. We are going to be talking about artificial intelligence. And we have with us the one and only Eddie Watson from the American Association of Colleges and Universities. Eddie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephen. I'm looking forward to this conversation with you.
Me too. And as our longtime listeners certainly know, we always begin each episode by asking guests to share a little bit about their backgrounds and career trajectories. So we'd like to ask you to do that for us right now. Tell us a little bit about Eddie Watson, your professional pathway, and what you do in your current role.
So I was a first-generation college student, earned my doctorate from Virginia Tech, and then stayed there as a faculty member for 15 years. I also led the Faculty Development Institute there before leaving for the University of Georgia, where I was the director of their Center for Teaching and Learning. I've been at AACNU since, April of 2017. So, almost 7 years now at this point. And I'm the Associate Vice President for Curricular and Pedagogical Innovation, and lead a lot of programs, sort of like national faculty development efforts in support of improving quality and equity in higher education.
Eddie, thanks for that introduction. And as you know, and our listeners know, throughout our time together today, we're going to be spending a lot of time discussing artificial intelligence, or AI as it is known. And this, of course, is the theme of your most recent book, that book entitled Teaching with AI, A Practical Guide to a New Era of Human Learning. And this is being released in April 2024 by Johns Hopkins University Press. So before we dive into and delve into all of the specifics of this book, let's maybe start with a broader view. So Eddie, what is artificial intelligence? How has it continued to evolve? And why is AI so important for the higher education sector?
Well, I guess the term artificial intelligence was coined back in the 1950s. So it's the concept has been around for a while. And really, when someone speaks of artificial intelligence, they're referring to the ability of computers or computer systems to mimic human intelligence. Sometimes people are also referring to the development of such systems whenever they use the phrase artificial intelligence. And there have been sort of different approaches over time regarding how to develop or instantiate the notion of artificial intelligence within computer systems. I think prior to the current generation, maybe most of society was familiar with sort of the notion of expert systems. So like, you know, the computer systems that could play chess and, you know, beat grandmasters and the like. And those systems had programmed into them, so into the logic, every possible scenario and every possible move, and then the probability of which one would be would have the greatest success. So in other words, it was just a gigantic coding exercise that would enable sort of the appearance of intelligence in such systems. But now we've kind of moved into this new era that's really, I guess, sort of built upon the notion of machine learning, which is, it's kind of like probabilities and statistics to sort of like recognize patterns, especially within text, and then to generalize a response or an answer. I mean, sometimes people will talk about generative AI and speak of it as, you know, it's guessing what the next word should be. Like, what would be the next best word or the next best sentence in response to the prompt that it may be given? So rather than it having programmed every possible response, it actually has the ability to look across a massive data set, generalize, and then provide a bit of a generalized answer.
So Eddie, let me continue with that theme. Why is this so important for us in higher education?
Well, I think initially, I mean, the first time that I saw this, it was like a week after ChatGPT had been released in November of 2022. And one of my sons, not surprisingly, said, "Hey, Dad, I got something to show you." And the first words out of, well, he described it to me. And I was like, yeah, I don't think it can really do that. But then when he showed it to me, the first words out of my mouth were, "Oh, no." Because I instantly recognized what the ramifications, really from an academic integrity standpoint, could be for higher education. You know, really since the pandemic, there have been a number of challenges regarding cheating and the like for higher ed. Things, certain types of technologies have exploded. But that was my initial response, recognizing, oh, there's some challenges here. But as the arc of discovery has kind of continued since then, there are really a range of opportunities as well. There's a number of ways to kind of approach AI for the development of instruction. Also, there's tools out there that are harvesting some of the capabilities of systems to be able to help students actually learn that really have nothing to do with academic integrity. They just actually are built on really good educational psychology. So I know that we're going to be talking a bit about this array of things, but there's certainly challenges specifically within the domain of academic integrity, but also lots of great opportunities.
Eddie, thank you. You've been reminding us that artificial intelligence, among other things, involves mimicking human intelligence and recognizing patterns to generate a response. So let's turn our attention now a little tightly to the topic of your book. And so tell us more about this new book. It's entitled Teaching with AI, A Practical Guide to a New Era of Human Learning. Provide for us an overview of its contents and tell us what motivated you and your co-author to write about this significant topic.
Well, the general structure of the book is that it's sort of broken up into three sections. The first section, just sort of an overview of AI or what we see as the shift. So we've called that section Thinking with AI. It contains four chapters. And then there's the next section is about teaching with AI. So specific practices that faculty can employ for teaching and learning. And then we conclude with learning with AI, really sort of highlighting the capabilities that students can use in terms to support their own learning. So we talk about the first chapter is sort of like an overview of the history of AI up to 2024, essentially. We talk about shifts within workforce needs and how that's driving or should be driving in many ways some of the choices that we're making within higher education. We talk specifically about what I see as a new essential learning outcome, AI literacy. We talk about creativity, how AI can be used to build courses. We talk about certainly cheating and the AI detection world. We talk about appropriate policies, grading, feedback, and role-playing with AI, and certainly building assignments within this new context. So that's kind of a good overview of the book.
Eddie, thank you. You're describing the book, Teaching with AI, A Practical Guide to a New Era of Human Learning, in which you provide an overview around thinking with AI, teaching with AI, and learning with AI. And importantly, you mentioned AI literacy as a potential essential learning outcome. And listeners who are familiar with your work and the work of your colleagues at the American Association of Colleges and Universities will, of course, recognize essential learning outcomes are part and parcel to the heart of what you do there. I invite listeners to learn more by visiting aacu.org. And we'll also paste in the show notes for this episode a link to Johns Hopkins University Press, where listeners can avail themselves of this book. So, Eddie, what are some of the ways AI will influence the design of learning? How will educators in various disciplines and institutional contexts use AI as they develop learning opportunities in courses, programs, and even experiential settings?
So there are a lot of opportunities to leverage AI, indeed, for the design of learning. The way that some of these tools are set up, such as ChatGPT, which is certainly the most well-known, is that people can build, it's sort of like the app store, if you will. You can find apps for your phone, which will then leverage all of the capabilities of the phone, but in a very narrow, specific way. There are a number of sort of like tertiary tools that are being built upon the ChatGPT infrastructure through what's called an API, which is essentially like a plugin. You can kind of build something and it will plug into this larger large language model that is the OpenAI ChatGPT language model. And there have been a number of new tools that specifically work within that context that are designed to help faculty create instruction. So I guess a couple of them that I might want to point out to people are actually being built by a group in Canada called North Nord, I believe is their name. And they have a tool called AI Teaching Assistant Pro, which is, again, built upon the ChatGPT infrastructure. But whenever you go to ChatGPT and you ask it for something, you typically have to have a pretty protracted prompt, almost discussion with the AI to get something more and more like what you would like. What they have done with a suite of tools that they've created, built upon ChatGPT, is make it to increase the probability that you're going to get a response that's relevant to you. So specifically around the tool that I'm speaking about now, AI Teaching Assistant Pro, it has a tool for creating multiple choice questions. So I know that for me, whenever I would craft multiple choice questions, it was always easy for me to come up with the question and the right answer. Often the distractors were a bit of a challenge. So this gives you sort of a brainstorming partner to help you kind of come up with distractors and additional questions within a specific domain. It also has the ability to help you create essay questions. And then just sort of within the context of assessment, what's really interesting about it is there's a little box you can check and it will create a scoring rubric for you. And of course, these are all drafts. They're never going to come right to you exactly the way that you'd want them to be. But, you know, it kind of gets you down the road. I know for me, whenever it comes to writing or creating something, the blank page is the greatest challenge. But I can respond to a draft of something all day long. So that's why I find so many of these tools really helpful. But in addition to these two things, helping you create essay questions and quiz questions, it also will help you create a syllabus. So there's tools and you sort of tell which pieces you want, what the course is, like if you were teaching a course on organizational change, and you can talk about the population that you're teaching, it'll put together a draft for you, even a course schedule, tell it how many weeks, and it'll put together a draft that you can, of course, respond to and change and copy and paste and make it your own. But you know, people have been doing this already with ChatGPT or Claude, or various other AIs, but now there's sort of this new set of tools that are emerging that just help you get better answers quicker.
Better answers quicker. It sounds like AI is going to help us have the ultimate virtual teaching assistant for all of us. So let's pivot now to talk about, after we have designed learning, let's talk about how we go about implementing instruction. So Eddie, how can artificial intelligence or AI be used in the implementation of instruction? In what ways can educators use AI to enhance the teaching and learning process for students?
Well, I think there's two dual challenges that we have right now in higher education. And I think those challenges together create a compelling rationale for why really all programs in higher ed need to be considering how to best respond to and leverage AI. So certainly there's the academic integrity challenges, but there's also been a rapid adoption of generative AI tools within really sort of the range of disciplines in the real world. So in the life of work, whether you're talking about the medical field or legal field or HR, I mean, basically every discipline is finding ways to leverage AI. Every industry is. In fact, a recent survey completed by Amazon World Services, so AWS, published in November, highlighted that 19 out of 20 employers see adopting, if they're not already using it, they will be adopting generative AI. So with that breadth of expectation, you know, thinking that we're preparing our students for a life beyond college, we need to not only be sort of strategizing around the challenge of academic integrity, but we also need to be determining how we can leverage AI in our courses to, in addition to teaching the learning outcomes for our courses, also engender AI skills, competencies, and abilities. So AI literacy for students so that they'll have that skill as they move forward into the workforce. In fact, employers are already reporting that they are having difficulty filling positions associated with AI skills. And they're also reporting that they are expecting to pay a premium for those individuals with those skills. So, you know, you think about if you're teaching a sophomore level course and you have students who will be graduating in a couple of years, most of them will have careers and positions that will in some way have an expectation that they will be using AI. So then that sort of makes us pivot to the classroom. So what should change within our teaching context? And I think that, you know, I definitely want to embrace the notion that there are times we want students to do things without technology. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, strategies like proctoring and blue books are things that we need to leave entirely behind. Certainly those have their place within the educational process. But there will be times that we'll want students to show what they can do with AI and to develop those skills. So what does that look like? So again, this is assuming that you're having some success and you have other assessment strategies for kind of the core courses of the core learning outcomes for your courses. So then thinking what instruction looks like within your class, it could be that rather than having students write a paper from scratch, maybe they'll write a draft. They'll ask AI to produce the draft, and then they will then be revising that draft based upon what they bring to the partnership. I mean, the notion of AI and how it will be functioning with us is the idea of it being sort of a co-intelligence. And this is sort of the expectation that many employers already have. Don't waste time writing the first draft. You can save yourself a half hour by producing a draft of a press release, and then you just edit it to get it right, to make sure it has our voice and sort of the norms of our organization. So that's a skill set. Editing will be a skill set that's indeed expected in the world that awaits students upon graduation. So maybe instead of having five essays within a course, maybe a couple of the essays they would start with AI, they would revise, and then the expectation would be that the final product would actually be of greater quality than what you might have initially anticipated or expected of your students.
Well, Eddie, you've been describing the role of artificial intelligence in the design and implementation of instruction, and you've been alluding to the types of skills that students will be embracing and engaging in their work. So let's talk about that a little more around student engagement in learning and its relationship to artificial intelligence. What are the opportunities and implications here? As you've been noting, students will be using AI to deepen their interest in knowledge and knowledge of courses, topics, and disciplines. So tell us more about how you feel student engagement in learning will be impacted by AI.
Well, it's definitely already being impacted far beyond the notion of academic integrity. In fact, most of the power users, student power users of AI, have already seen it as something a lot more than just something to draft text. They see it as a productivity tool. So for sort of managing schedules and figuring out what to do each week, organizing their life, it's become sort of a personal assistant for those power users of students, students who are power users. So minimally, it's being seen as a way by many students to sort of better organize sort of the project management that is indeed college. But multiple AI now have the ability to not only lock into, say, the brain that is a large learning model, an LLM, but to also access the web at the same time. So Microsoft's Copilot is an example of this, where whenever you ask it something, it'll do a bit of a search in both places. So you'll get a generative response, but also a web response. So as a way to more deeply engage with a topic, students are already beginning to sort of shift their research methodologies to this new sort of approach and context, where they're not just using the web or not just using AI, but they're leveraging both indeed at exactly the same time.
Eddie, thank you. You're describing the promise and potential of teaching with AI, which of course is the title of your book, the book entitled Teaching with AI, A Practical Guide to a New Era of Human Learning. So Eddie, we've been alluding to this throughout our conversation, and that of course is the relationship of academic integrity and cheating to artificial intelligence. So there are concerns expressed about that. How can the positive aspects of AI be used as a source of strength while mitigating against some of the negative, potential negative consequences? What perspectives and even reassurances might you offer for us here?
Well, I guess one reassurance that I would like to share with your listeners is that the scope of concern regarding academic integrity challenges has largely been blown out of proportion. So I'm not suggesting that AI can't produce text, which indeed it certainly can. But if you look at data reported by Turnitin.com, so it's that is the largest of the AI detectors, also selected as best of show within this space. Certainly, there are significant issues with AI detection, but in November, they reported that they had reviewed over 142 million pieces of student writing, I guess both K-12 and higher ed. And of that giant data set, 10 million were flagged for having at least 20% or more AI content within it. So 10 million out of 142 million were flagged or found to have AI. That's a 7% problem. So, you know, this isn't, you know, there's a moral panic that I think AI detection companies have attempted to sort of generate. And there's enough issues, as we've discovered, like my initial oh no, that have led many of us to have great concerns. But I believe the vast majority of our students are indeed still like writing their papers themselves. Not that they're not leveraging AI in other fashions to help with the paper. So, you know, there's a topic, they may ask for a general outline to begin with, and then they work from that outline. Or they may ask for some revisions or drop their paper into AI and say, okay, what, this was the prompt, this is my essay, what am I missing? What could I do to make this essay better? So there's lots of ways, rather than writing the text, that students could leverage AI to actually improve a product. But given what the largest of the AI detectors, detecting companies has found, there isn't this sense that every student is using it to write their work. In fact, I've talked with faculty within the last couple of weeks, and I had someone, you know, with just, she had her hand around her cheek, and she was saying, I think most of my students are using AI in my freshman writing class. And I tried to reassure her that, well, that it's probably not that scope of a problem. It's probably not every student. I bet there are students that are using it, but there's a spectrum now, the spectrum being using AI for everything versus anywhere along the timeline of the writing process. So I guess that's one thing I'd want to encourage people to recognize, is that this is likely not every student in your class using it to cheat. They're using it in an array of different ways, and many of them are very healthy, positive ways that indeed for the rest of their professional life, they'll likely be using AI in such ways to produce outlines, to review work, to receive feedback, those kinds of things. So those are all positive opportunities there. Now, certainly there are an array of ways that students are using it to cheat. I mean, certainly for multiple choice tests, certainly for writing. There's an array of things that we can do in our classes that can help diminish that. Jose and I recently did a talk together, my co-author, and we had 16 different strategies among them were just sort of like first recognizing what are some of the reasons why students may cheat. And one of the reasons is, well, opportunity, but another is like, you know, there's just, they kind of get up against a deadline and they feel that they can't complete the work themselves. And so then they pivot to, another method, another strategy, and indeed, you know, plagiarize or use AI to cheat. So, you know, let's say back to the example of having five papers in a course, maybe you provide students with the opportunity, you know, no questions asked. You can, for two of the papers, you can have free 48-hour extensions. So, you know, if a student finds themselves up against the deadline on a Sunday night and, you know, they're debating, well, the only way I can get this done is to go to AI. Well, actually, maybe there's a different path that I can pursue. I'll just ask for that extension and then complete the paper over the next couple of days. I mean, I think ultimately we want students to do the work because that's where the learning occurs. And so just having more flexibility within a course is just one such strategy that can help help students make the right decision as they're navigating the challenges of their own schedule and their academic life.
Eddie, thank you. In your description of the academic integrity and cheating dynamic, this speaks to the need for institutions to perhaps have a strategy around AI and the teaching arena. So I'd like to talk about what you believe higher education leaders at all levels need to be doing to position their campuses to capitalize on AI. What would such a strategy, especially in the teaching arena, look like?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of different approaches within higher ed, like within the context of policy or guidance for faculty. I've had some administrators tell me, I think it's just too early. It's so so much is in flux and there's so much change and there's new products coming out all the time. And Apple hasn't even come to market yet with their product. It's too early to provide guidance because we don't know what that guidance might be. I tend to think that's probably not the best path, a wait and see, let things sort itself out. I think the best thing that we can do now is take the knowledge and wisdom that we currently have and create policies and guidance for faculty and for students rather than leaving them sort of out to sea a bit on their own. I think also, you know, bringing together a committee of faculty and administrators to craft such a policy, but also when the policy seems to be completed, don't disband the committee. There should be an expectation, you know, as communicated to the communities, like, hey, here's our new guidance, our new policies. We want to see how this functions out in the wild. So we're going to revisit this in 6 to 12 months, and you can expect a revision of this policy on X date. And likely at a point a year from now, keeping that committee together and continuing to watch how the new policy functions would be a best practice going forward. But I think all institutions of higher learning need to be leading into developing policies and guidance. And this goes all the way down to individual faculty within their courses. Syllabi should have policy statements that clearly state when and under what circumstances AI might be used, and then down to the assignment level. There should be a statement on every assignment that says you're allowed to use AI in these ways, or you must report how you used AI, or AI is not allowed for this assignment. But I think given the scope of shift and the flux and the misinformation regarding tools, there was a conversation recently among students that we were speaking with, and they weren't sure whether using Grammarly was considered cheating. You know, and they asked me, I said, I don't know within the context of your course whether or not a tool that could help, you know, smooth out punctuation and grammar and other such issues would be considered cheating within your course context. The person that would know the answer to that question would be your faculty member. Though honestly, because there are so many tools out there on the landscape, just asking about a specific tool like TurboLearn.ai, hey, can I use that? Most faculty probably aren't familiar with that particular tool at this point. But from a student learning perspective, that's a fantastic tool that helps with sort of mastery of lecture content within a given course. So there's so much for faculty to learn. I think it's become sort of another unfunded mandate for us in higher education is that we now need to make part of our sort of learning arc within our profession from 1 week to the next to keep some level of connection to emergences within the AI world.
Eddie is reminding all of us to be mindful of the strategies and policies associated with artificial intelligence. And of course, context matters. So Eddie, I'd like to look ahead and maybe consult your crystal ball. And we know a lot in the space of artificial intelligence is rapidly changing. So we look ahead over the next few years, where is AI leading the higher education sector? What are the future trends as you know them to be right now? And how is AI influencing your own work at the American Association of Colleges and Universities?
Well, I wish I could give an answer to this next question with extreme confidence, but the future is definitely difficult to predict. I guess there's a couple of thoughts. Like I've always been the boring futurist throughout my career. Like when MOOCs came out, there were a lot of discussions that, wow, we may only end up with 20 or 50 universities in the next 5 years because why would you take, you know, that psychology class at your local institution whenever you can have the greatest psychology professor in the world teach you? You know, at that time, my response was, I think that higher ed is going to look pretty much the same 5 years from now that it looks today. But this AI is the first thing that I've seen that I thought really will have a significant impact on the DNA of higher education, in that there's a new skills gap that needs to be filled, and higher education is logically the place for that to be placed. There's also just changes in the way that faculty teach their course, given that some assignments that we might provide students are almost ideally suited for the work that AI can produce. So there's needs to change things within courses, within institutions, and then just thinking about curricula and maybe specific learning outcomes for higher education. Those are all at play here. I guess whenever I think about the future, I think that it's probably accurate to say that today, right now, this is the worst AI is ever going to be. I mean, it's only going to get better at performing tasks, at mimicking my voice. You know, I can provide it already now with, hey, here's samples of my writing. Here's the last three articles that I wrote. Write something on this topic using my idioms and my voice. And it's getting better and better and better at doing that with each new iteration of the technology. That kind of growth trajectory is likely to continue. And then this secondary market of add-on tools for products like ChatGPT, like that Teaching Assistant Pro that I mentioned earlier, those opportunities are only going to grow as well. I mean, it's so easy to build within that sphere, and there's a lot of such tools that are coming to market. Me and a group of friends are always sharing new tools that we see within the higher education domain, and it's quite impressive for sure. So I think that we are in a period of rapid change, which is disorienting for many of us, for sure. I think that we're going to feel that for at least 2 years or more going forward, and that this just requires a lot of attention on our part to ensure that our institutions continue to remain relevant, that our courses are continue to be effective going forward. I should also say that while I think that AI is the worst it's ever going to be today, I think probably AI detection is about the best it's ever going to be today. As AI gets better, I think AI detection is going to have a really hard time keeping up and being able to discern student writing. So I'm already quite dubious about AI detection, especially given false positive concerns and, you know, falsely accusing students of cheating and what that does in terms of student mental health and the larger well-being crisis. So I think that leaning on AI detection as a possible solution is probably wrong-headed for most within higher education. I mean, AI detection does work, but it doesn't work all the time. And so collateral damage is something that I think higher education needs to look closely at. Collateral damage in terms of students, students who might be falsely accused. I mean, I think about my academic career. I think I would have preferred to have earned an F in a course than to be falsely accused of cheating and have really no way to defend myself other than just it's my word against an AI detector's word. So I guess what I'm encouraging listeners to do is to lean away from AI detection as a solution and to think about what's the range of other solutions that might decrease the probability that students might make the decision to cheat with AI or any other tool.
Eddie, thank you for providing a preview as much as you can of our future. So as we conclude, we always end by asking guests to leave listeners with a brief final thought. So Eddie Watson, what is your final thought for us today?
I think my final thought is to encourage everyone to connect with a variety of different AI, play with it and get a sense of its different strengths and weaknesses. I think that some still think of AI as being monolithic, that it's, well, it's just this one thing and ChatGPT is it, where indeed there's, you know, more than a half a dozen different sort of brains, if you will, out there that that have different data sets and then produce things differently. Like I find that when it comes to brainstorming, I don't go to ChatGPT first. I would go to Claude because it tends to be more creative, at least in my perception. It also hallucinates more if you're looking for facts and figures kinds of things. But you know, as a brainstorming partner, to think outside of the box, hey, that's where I go first. If I'm looking for, you know, assistance in writing a draft for a letter of recommendation or something, to just get sort of a first draft that has some boilerplate language. I mean, you know, we all have pretty much the same first paragraph and last paragraph in such letters. So, you know, to just get a first draft and then I go in and change the specifics. I prefer to go to ChatGPT for that, or Copilot, which is now integrated in Microsoft 360 and also is built upon or is connected to the ChatGPT brain. You can kind of get sort of more stodgy, stoic text, less hallucination out of that product. So anyways, these are different brains that function differently and then produce different outcomes. So see them as being in your toolbox and play with them to figure out what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. And then you know when to use which tool when. And then also I would encourage people who are currently using ChatGPT, if you're not paying the subscription, you probably should whenever they came to market with the current version of ChatGPT. They dumbed down the old version, the free version. So while the free version is still impressive, it's quite a different product when you have access to the full version. So essentially, I'm encouraging people to spend some time playing with these tools, figuring out how they might dovetail into your life, really from a range of different perspectives, sort of the administrative work that you have to do, how you might leverage it for teaching and learning, and possibly even research.
Eddie, thank you. We've been speaking with Eddie Watson from the American Association of Colleges and Universities, a co-author of the new book entitled Teaching with AI, A Practical Guide to a New Era of Human Learning, released in April 2024 by Johns Hopkins University Press. And as I mentioned, we'll put a link to this book in the show notes of this episode. I should also mention that Eddie will be among several of our featured speakers at the 2024 Assessment Institute in Indianapolis, held in late October 2024. I invite listeners to visit assessmentinstitute.iupui.edu to learn more about the nation's oldest and largest event focused on assessing and improving higher education. Eddie, thanks so much for your time with us today. I really have learned a lot and enjoyed hearing more about artificial intelligence and the promise and potential it has for all of us.
Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
This has been Leading Improvements in Higher Education, the award-winning podcast service of the Assessment Institute in Indianapolis. Learn more and access other episodes at assessmentinstitute.iupui.edu.
Our sponsor for this season is the Center for Assessment and Research Studies at James Madison University. Learn more at jmu.edu/assessment. Our podcast producers are Chad Beckner and Angela Bergman, with original music composed by Caleb Keith. If you know someone who might enjoy the podcast, please encourage them to give us a listen. We appreciate your help in spreading the word. I'm Stephen Hundley, inviting you to join us again for Leading Improvements in Higher Education.